Hey, we are back with another episode of Dialogue Heavy, which yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. What's up, guys? Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are. I'm glad that you're sitting here listening to me. Hope you're having a great week. Hope to end it with a great story. So, you know, we're reading God Bless the Girls, a book that I'm writing about a young lady who is an endurance runner and about to head off to college when she goes out one night binge drinking with her friend Mark and meets up with some other friends at a basement party and binge drinks herself into being drugged and wakes up chained to the floor in a dark room. You know, there's a couple other girls in there, Susie, Terry, and Boston. And, you know, throughout the chapters, they're trying to find a way to get out of this place. And the last couple of chapters, 19, 20, 21, and 22, we found out that Sarah, our main character, has coincidentally got freed on accident when she was in a fight, and the captors don't know. And so she is trying to explain to the two other girls that are down there. Susie, unfortunately, has been taken upstairs to do what they do, rape and torture. And the girls are downstairs. Boston is asleep, or at least that's what we thought. And she's talking to Terry about trying to get out of there. Terry comes up with a plan, and she tries to create a diversion. And when they bring Susie back downstairs, she all of a sudden now has a big gash on her forehead, and she's asking for medical attention. I guess the lady of the bunch of the captors finds it strange, and before the captors leave upstairs, she tells the guys, her minions, to recheck the chains of all the girls. That's no good for Sarah. Well, Boston, who we thought was asleep, does a great thing in creating another diversion where right when Gore is prying our main character Sarah's legs open, trying to get to that ankle to check that handcuff that is unlocked, she kicks the other captor in the nuts. That prompts Gore to go over there and assist, and their girls eventually are back in the dark, and Sarah wasn't found out. Now the girls are arguing. Susie is made aware of that Sarah is freed. And now the girls are trying to listen for a time when it's okay for them to leave, or at least for Sarah to leave. They obviously want Sarah to go upstairs, find the key closet that we hear about in so many chapters, and free them all. Sarah, on the other hand, is not knowing what she should do. Should she just save herself, or should she actually take the time to go try to look for the keys? And in that situation, she might be found out, and she could be back there with them, and it can be all four of them. It's either her or them. That's what she's thinking, and she has to figure it out what she's going to do. So that's where we ended at. Sarah just walked up the stairs in the last chapter, chapter 22. She walked up the stairs and trying to figure out if she's going to leave or not. So we're just going to get right into it. This is chapter 23, and we'll see where we end. But chapter 23, a God Bless the Girls. So as you know, on these episodes of Dialogue Heavy, you know, as of now, everything that I've ever recited on here is written and recited by me, Michael Anthony McMillan. So without further ado, I bring to you God Bless the Girls. Chapter 23, here we go. Susie was right. It was nighttime, and the house was almost as dark as the basement. Only the security lights from the neighboring house shed into this one. From where I was standing in the kitchen, to the left of me was the living room that led to the front door. But between the kitchen and the living room was a doorway and a hallway that brought you to the bed and bathrooms. In front of me was an everyday run-of-the-mill kitchen equipped with a sink, cabinets, stove, and a refrigerator. And to my right was the key closet. And past that was the back door. I could just run out that way, I thought. Even if Gore woke up and heard me, I'd already have too much of a head start. If he had to even think or throw on some shoes, he'd lose that race, and I'd be gone in the dark. I wouldn't be able to live with myself, though, if I didn't try to get the girls out. So I opened the cabinet door that I knew desperately needed WD-40. The cabinet door creaked open, and I squinted, hoping not to hear Gore stomp his way into the kitchen and throw me back into the dark forever. After holding my breath for what felt like an hour, Gore's breathing continued and his sleep soundtrack started over again. I had to open the door completely, the closet door completely, to get enough light in and to see what the contents were. And when I finally did, horror came over my body. It was a regular broom closet with the standard cleaning equipment. A mop sitting in a bucket, a broom in a dustpan, and a bottle of Clorox bleach. What? My heart ached for the girls, because somewhere in my subconscious I knew I had to leave, but worse still, I'd be leaving without them. I could see their faces and made me want to cry, but I had no time for that. I closed the closet door up until before it creaked, and I decided I was going to make my way to the back door. I tiptoed with every step, applying as little pressure as I could to the floor in case the wood was creaky. I reached the door, unlocked the bottom lock, and twisted the knob, but that time, I wouldn't be so lucky. The top lock needed a key to open it from the inside. I screamed in silence, and I turned back to where I came and mimicked the same gentle footsteps from before. As I made my way to the front door, in the kitchen, I noticed the large wooden block that held knives, kitchen knives, and as I passed it, I took out the biggest blade I could find. It shined in the neighbor's light, allowing me to see myself for the first time in what felt like an eternity. I was a mess, with matted hair and dirt marks all over my face. I looked like the nomads from in the days before showering was even invented. I put my new weapon down to my right side to stop it from reflecting any light onto the ceiling, and I walked as quick and as silent as possible to the front door. Thank God for the throw rug that was on the floor. It made it easier to get to the door with little to no sound. Unfortunately, though, that luck would be short-lived. Chapter 24. I wanted to cry when I realized that I wouldn't be escaping from that door. That door, too, needed a key to exit, and I knew then I would have to kill Gore or it was going to take a miracle for me to get out. As I passed back through the living room, I looked in the at the windowsill setup. There was the normal latch that connected and locked the window and a black metal bars outside of that. I had to have taken 10 minutes to complete each step once I was back onto the wood paneled floor, and for every step I would wait for the song to start again and listen to Gore's labored breath. I reached the hallway and slowly poked my head in. To the right, I saw who I thought was Gore, sleeping on his back with one leg hanging off the bed. The only article of clothing he had on were boxer shorts, and his belly rose up and down almost to the beat of the song. To the left were two more rooms with doors that were closed. Were Lanky and the lady in those rooms? Were they even asleep? I didn't know for sure, but that same creepy feeling came tiptoeing up my spine when thinking of what happened in those rooms with the girls and who knows how many others. Directly in front of me was the restroom, and oddly enough, at that moment, I started to feel like I had to pee. That eerie feeling that I felt and was trying to ignore kept haunting me, intensifying with every step I took. Deep down inside, something was watching me, and I knew it, and my sixth sense was screaming at me, telling me that I was in trouble. I was frozen, and I was torn. I didn't want to look back towards Gore's room. I didn't want to know if he or anybody else was right behind me. I wanted it to be that if I was caught, that instantaneously everything would turn just black. And I was scared for my life. But finally, I decided I had to do it. I had to turn back and look fate in the eyes, regardless of the circumstances. Even with that, I stood still. God damn it, just do it, Sarah! I yelled at myself internally. I took a breath and turned around. And when I did, I saw a pair of eyes peering right at me. Chapter 25. The eyes that were focused on me glinted off of the reflection of my blade. They were coming from under the bed like a child's nightmare, and before I could fully realize who it was, I heard it purr. Whew, my nerves relaxed a bit when the cat came out from underneath the bed. It was white with gray patches and long whiskers. It labored on, arching its back in a stretch. Then it rubbed itself on Gore's hanging limb. No, I almost whispered, and quickly kneeled down to beckon the cat towards me. Gore moved and scratched his belly. I froze still like a mannequin in hopes that that stupid song would sing him back to dreamland. Gore scratched his goatee, then put his hand behind his head, continuing his sleep, and that's when I saw it. There was my escape route rising up and down on Gore's massive chest. Gore had the chain that had the same chain that the military uses for dog tags, but on his was a single key. I knew that had to be the key that freed me and could possibly free the girls. But it would be damn near impossible for me to get it without waking them, right? Then even if I did manage to get it and get the girls out, how would we actually escape if we couldn't find the damn keys to the front or back door? All that would prove irrelevant when my furry friend meowed too loud for my comfort before it started to make its way to me. Like all cats, it was curious about this new fixture in its house, and it wanted to explore me whether I liked it or not. The cat took a few steps towards me with caution, not knowing if I was a predator or not, then stopped at the sill of the door and meowed again, inviting me into the room to pet it, but I didn't budge. I begged her to shut the hell up, but it just kept at it, demanding me to come to it. Shit, I thought, when Gore started to move around and I quickly moved over to the doorway to the living room. Fuck, I thought. I waited as the song continued along, and for a while, I didn't hear anything. As I stood there in the living room of my captors, I thought to myself, I was going to have to make a move at some point. I couldn't just stand there forever. It didn't matter if I got caught and thrown back down there with the girls, or worse, if I got killed in the process. I had to take a chance. It was now or never. The song had played through two more times before I garnered up the courage to look through the doorway again. But unfortunately for me, when I did, Gore was wide awake. Chapter 26. Gore was sitting up on the side of the bed, looking down and petting that stupid cat, and I felt hopeless. I felt like I was already caught. I felt like I might as well go in there with my hands out and surrender and hope he doesn't kill me for escaping. Then, something else came over me. This anger. It was kind of like the feeling I felt when I was competing, but turned up to like the 100th power. I pulled my head back out into the living room and told myself, fuck that, I'm getting out of here, or I'm gonna die trying. And that's when I looked around for a place to hide. I heard the creak of Gore getting off the bed, and I walked as fast as I could without making noise over to the couch and hid on the far side of it next to the front door. Gore came out into the living room and looked in my direction, but it was so dark he couldn't see me. And if he did, he probably just as well thought the top of my head was something left on the top of the coffee table, from which I was under, staring back at him. He walked to the kitchen, and the neighbor's light revealed a ton of scars and bruises on his back. He opened up the refrigerator door and took out an orange juice container, took a drink, then put it back. He took a deep breath, then burped. And right then it occurred to me, how strange it felt to be looking at him doing normal things like having a nighttime snack when he had women chained up in the basement. My blood boiled at that thought. My blood boiled at the thought of that, and I wanted to shove that knife square into his back and twist it. Give him another scar. He closed the refrigerator and walked over to the broom closet and opened it. He removed all the contents from the closet, then opened a second door with the key from the necklace. I knew it, I thought. I knew I heard keys being shuffled around from that area of the house when I was down there. I couldn't see exactly what he was doing, but I knew whatever it was in that closet was the answer to me escaping. Chapter 27. From my vantage point, I can see only Gore's feet from under the sill of the closet door, and they were shuffling. I wonder what was going on when I got my answer. Gore came from behind the closet holding his crotch. Finally, some luck, I thought. He had to use the bathroom, and I would have 15 or so seconds to decide if I wanted to live or die. Gore bolted to the restroom and closed the door behind him. I waited to hear his stream hit the toilet water before I ran for it. I looked into the closet and saw multiple rings with multiple keys on them. At the top, there was a section that was labeled and numbered Susie number 1, Terry number 2, Boston number 3, and me, Sarah number 4. But then there were more numbers and labels of girls' names in different columns. Did that mean that there were more girls in different locations? I didn't know about that, but I did know I didn't have much time. I could hear Gore's stream weakening, so I kept scanning until I saw the label that said front/back door. And I grabbed that as I heard Gore's stream turn into drips. I turned to run and tripped over the mop bucket. Fell on my face, making a thud sound that Gore reacted to immediately. "Dad," he said, "is that you?" I pulled myself up and ran. I tried to unlock the front door and heard two doors open simultaneously, but I didn't look back. If they were going to catch me, they were going to catch me. When I unlatched and opened the wooden door, I could feel the coolness of the night air through the screen door, and I used the same key to push that one open. "Sarah!" I heard one voice scream. The speed in which I ran down those steps and across that line and into those woods, Mr. Rich, my running coach, would have been proud of me. That girl could have shattered all of my previous running records. I wouldn't even have been close. My shuddering cheeks shook off the tears that I shed as I realized that I had, in fact, escaped. But I wasn't sure if I was crying for having my life back or if I was crying because I had left the girls and potentially ended theirs. Boom! That's it, guys. Man. These chapters are getting deep, man. They're getting deep. God bless the girls. Sarah's out. She's out. She's back into the world. Who knows if she's going to actually escape these guys, but she's back into the world. It's a crazy one, ain't it? Man, you kind of got to ask yourself. I think we all internally know the answer to it, even though we can ask ourselves, what would you do in the situation? You know? Do you go and risk your life for these girls, or do you get yourself out and hope to do something better when you get out? You know, hope to, you know, maybe find help, find a cop or whatever. But you can only imagine what people go through in these situations. I watch TV shows and movies and stuff that have real situations like these. And crazy thing to think about, to not know, you know, to not have your life as your own and stuff. But Sarah was finally able to do it. She had some help from a girl, so my only hope is that she can help get them out or find somebody and stuff, but you never know. So that's another episode of Dialogue Heavy with you guys. God bless the girls. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing questions and championing me on as I continue to write this book. We're going to keep on doing it and keep on going at it. You know how you can reach me. You can reach me. My email, mzzack199@gmail.com, and on Instagram it's @MichaeltheGrio. So I'll catch you guys next week, man. And see where this situation goes. But I appreciate you for listening. I love you for listening. And I thank you for being an audience to this book. It makes me feel good that people enjoy it. So thanks again. I appreciate you. And we'll talk to you later. All right. She's out. Sarah's out. She's out. Talk to you later. Peace.